Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, you guys have got to see the view that we have got for the show this morning. This is one of the all-time best studio setups I have ever had in, how many years of doing a radio talk show. I am on the 50-yard line atop Washington Grizzly Stadium here, set up at the Canyon Club. We've got some incredible military veterans and military families here for the military alumni reunion at the University of Montana. Lieutenant Colonel Pat Beckwith is the head of military affairs here for the University of Montana campus. What an incredible view you must have had, because you guys were hiking the M on Mount Sentinel with all the alumni and everybody earlier this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And we stole a beautiful morning, I would say. You know, we had that rainstorm come through and knock down a lot of the smoke. And so, folks, then when we were hiking up there, we were able to really look over the town and point out some of the nostalgia of the places that they spent a lot of time here, whether they were a cadet or, you know, a veteran here on campus. So, absolutely beautiful morning.
You know, I was talking with Ryan Perusich. He and his wife are here. He grew up in Colstrip. I remember I was telling President Bodner, he broke his neck in airborne school while he was an Army ROTC cadet, you know, here at the University of Montana, obviously doing airborne training in Georgia. And yet here he is, still serving on active duty to this day as a full bird colonel. And but I think this was the first time that he's been back really to the campus in 20 plus years since he graduated from here. And it's remarkable when you think about what this reunion had just put together.
Well, that's a testament to what it's like to serve. You know, he's been all over the world, and you don't really get the opportunity to come back and visit the places that kind of were a incredible part of your upbringing. And, you know, to be able to bring back somebody like him, he's now stationed at Joint Base Lewis McChord, so he's a little closer. He could drive out here, and he's here amongst this community and bringing back a lot of those memories. And he shared that same story, and, you know, all I could do is just kind of chuckle. I was like, yep, that's a military person.
Yeah, and it was so great to see so many fellow classmates of Lieutenant Josh Hyland. Lieutenant Josh Hyland, who gave his life for this country in Afghanistan 20 years ago this August, and coming up later this hour of the show, we're going to have the honor of hearing from his wife, his widow, Lainey Hyland, who is here, and his son, Dylan, who gave an incredible speech at the 9/11 Memorial ceremony yesterday.
Yeah, that was a remarkable ceremony yesterday. Both Lainey and Dylan contributing, you know, and Dylan's speech really amplifying what it means to serve. Those moments that he shared with Lieutenant Hyland when he chose the mission to, you know, go to a school to provide kind of additional opportunity for the community in a war zone just amplifies, you know, what it means to be there to give back.
By the way, I should say, not only are you the head of the military affairs here at the University of Montana, but you're still serving in the Montana Army National Guard and a battalion commander as we speak, if I remember right. So thanks for your continued service and sacrifice. More to follow with Lieutenant Colonel Pat Beckwith here right after this, broadcasting live from Washington Grizzly Stadium, high atop the stadium. We literally have the stadium to ourselves. We're the only people here right now. It's incredible. I'm gonna go do like cartwheels, like Chris Farley
you
style
and me both.
Cartwheels down there after the show, I think. All right, stand by, back after this.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
By the numbers, I think it was over 1,000 veterans or military service members or military affiliated family members of veterans and service members attending the University of Montana right now. That's one of the things I spoke with University of Montana President Seth Bodner about an hour ago, and you can get that audio on the Montana Talks podcast later this weekend, et cetera. But great to have Lieutenant Colonel Pat Beckwith here, the head of the military affairs on the University of Montana campus. So one of the things President Bodner has been touting is the fact that the University of Montana was named basically the number one campus for military, veterans, et cetera. What does that mean? What does it take to get that type of recognition?
Yeah, it takes a community. And we've been working at this since President Bodner took the helm here at the university. And then he brought me on board. And it was like, what do we do to do better behind the scenes for our veteran community and our military service members? And it took me a while to learn the power curve. You know, there's big campuses out there that have a big appeal, the curb appeal. You know, they're pretty flashy. They do a good job at spending money in big places. We're a smaller community. And so we got down in the weeds and we said, this is about personable interaction. And so every veteran, every military service member has that interaction with my office and my staff. And in addition to that, we work behind the scenes to make sure that people's finances and their careers, all that stuff is places that we interact and give them that kind of intimate, process to make sure that they're successful.
Yeah, I was even talking with my friend Phil Stempin. He works out of the law school now. We went to college together in the radio television department back in the day, but he was even saying they've got like a veterans law club in the law school going right now. Veterans who are putting that GI Bill to work, getting a law degree, and then now starting kind of a veterans law group. So that's kind of, it's interesting to see little things like that. Mm-hmm. What else has stood out to you in the conversations you've been having with this military alumni reunion or the 9/11 memorial yesterday?
I think a big thing that stand out is how many people are brought back and connected to this community. It means a lot to be a Grizz. People oftentimes leave here and go to the four winds, especially if they're in the military. But this is a home to them. They want to find ways to give back. You know, that's part of that continued service as a veteran. And so it's really about our community figuring out where we can kind of bring back and give back to the community, continue to help students that are here with such a large population of veterans. It's like, what are we doing to continue that legacy of service with them as well?
So powerful seeing Ms. Michelle Smith there yesterday. Her son, Andrew Bedard, United States Marine, gave his life for this country 20 years ago this October. Of course, the Highland family here. Laney came all the way from Georgia. Her son, Dylan, coming up from Colorado. The Highland family here in Missoula, mm-hmm. here in attendance for that as well. And it's just so crazy to think that it's been 20-plus years of sacrifice and service by so many, or just the loss of 20 years with that person and that family member. But then to think that, like, now, you know, because these families and these service members have been so busy that, you know, for 20 years you've been wanting to reunite mm-hmm. with families. Absolutely. Like the Highland family. But, you know, you're gone, you're deployed, you're this, you're that, and you still got family stuff and work mm-hmm. stuff. And so it's such an incredible opportunity to finally be able to take that time, take that pause, and see people that you've been wanting to see for so long now.
Yeah, you nailed it. And it's kind of giving people that opportunity. So what we did with alumni and with my office is really just codified this on the calendar. And honestly, with your help, Aaron, on giving people a date to say, we need to do this. We need to come back and recognize not just a few, but the 43 names that are on those stones and bring them back to life. Speak those names, you know, take an opportunity to share stories and commemorate a powerful moment. And, you know, that memorial at the center of campus, it is there to remind us and educate future generations. So it was a lovely ceremony.
Yeah, and big thanks to Dave Bell and Brittany Bell and Grateful Nation Montana for making that Grateful Nation Montana Memorial a reality. In fact, I really appreciated the program, because in the program for the ceremony yesterday, it had photos and names of all of the 43 fallen post 9/11 Montana service members, and photos that I've got in my photo reel I'm looking at right now that I didn't get a chance to share yet. Jeremy Sandvik Monroe, Lance Corporal, U.S. Marine Corps, out of Chinook, Montana. Got to meet his mom in Malta, an incredible Gold Star family member. And so I took a photo as somebody had placed the white and the red rose over his placard. I also snagged a quick photo of Aaron Holliman, a Green Beret from Glasgow, and a friend of mine who is still on active duty to this day. Good friends with Aaron Holliman, and make sure he is remembered every Memorial Day. And so really powerful to see that Grateful Nation Montana Memorial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree that memorial is such, it's the beating heart of this campus.
Yeah. What else do you want to tell folks all across Montana? We got about, a minute or so to go here, and then Laney and Dylan Highland will be with us coming up after the break.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. What I would tell folks is, we have a lot of veterans that come to the state of Montana. And, you know, two of the number one places that they flow through when they come to the state of Montana after coming out of the military are Montana State University and the University of Montana. They're using their education benefits to come back home or to find a place in Montana. And we want them to stay here. And so we're going to do the best we can to support them and be the number one military-friendly campus in the nation so that veterans, when they come here to go to school, they stay here and become members of our community.
I think you got to meet my friend Brad Mercier, great guy. He's now retired. He was a Green Beret. I met him on one of my military assignments. We'll get to talking. He had served with Lieutenant Highland, back in his first assignment before he'd become a Green Beret. And so he made the trip all the way out here to show support for the Highland family. And he went to Georgia Southern, a team that got beat by the Grizz in a national championship. And I told him, I said, Georgia Southern. I said, and you wait till you go to this tailgate here. You're going to see the power of one of the most exciting FCS football stadiums, football stadiums, period, absolutely, in the country. You're going to see it right here, my friend. But such an honor to have people like him make the trip all the way out here. All right, quick break. Back with Montana Talks live from Washington Grizz Stadium right after this. Did you know?
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Such an honor to have the Highland family here in Montana, here in Missoula, here at Washington Grizzly Stadium. I'm looking down at the field right now from the 50-yard line up on top at the Canyon Club, and I'm looking at the place where that ROTC cannon would normally be, and I can just see Josh Highland down there with that perfect patrol cap roll on his patrol cap, and because he had time, as if I remember right, in an Army Ranger battalion on active duty, got out of the military, came home to Missoula, and then of course 24 years ago yesterday the 9/11 terror attacks, and people like Josh said, I'm going to get back into the military. And Laney and Dylan, it's an honor to have both of you here. Laney, I had the honor of speaking at the Montana State Capitol 9/11 Memorial yesterday after the show, before seeing you guys here in Missoula. And I guess the thing I was trying to communicate is we lost the best of us. And really, Josh, I'm not being facetious here. He was the best of us. I mean, I think he won like an Eisenhower Award or something like that when he was here. He looked like he was straight out of the movie Black Hawk Down. He looked like one of the characters in the Black Hawk Down movie. I mean, right? I'm not making this stuff up. He literally was a pro. You look at him, you're like, that guy's a soldier. And just we all looked up to him as classmates.
Absolutely, yeah. He was pretty incredible. So it's hard to find another person, in his range of uniqueness, I should say. He the military was where he felt more comfortable than anywhere. There in the wood shop, when they had the cabinet shop here, Timberline Woodworks. But yeah, he was a good guy, and I really, really miss him. But
Dylan, first off, I'd love for you to share your remarks that you gave at the 9/11 Memorial yesterday. But before we get to that, it's so fun seeing fellow classmates, some who haven't even been back here to the campus in 20 plus years since they graduated. Right. And they all remember where they were when they found out that your dad had given his life for this country. But they also, some of them told me they remember you as like a little 8 or 9 year old kid up there doing land navigation with them at night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He used to have me come out and do land nav with all of them and go to the shotgun range and, certify weapons and all that fun stuff, too. So I was definitely a part of that ROTC family, even though I was only 8 or 9 years old.
I don't know how both of you maintained your composure yesterday at the ceremony, because, Laney, I shared just some of your words when you wrote on Facebook about when you first got the news that you lost your husband, you were in Italy because that's where the 173rd was based out of. And I just had, and as I was looking at the Montana Capitol, you know, just in the ornate design in the Capitol, for some reason, I just imagined this Italian villa that had kind of a similar look to it. You know, the beauty of being there close to the Mediterranean, and yet you had the worst news of your life delivered to you. And I shared some of your words, and I was like, oh, man, I can't even really read this right now.
Yeah. Everything I write is really hard. It takes a long time for me to put things down on paper and or in the computer now. But it just makes you think back and lets you remember, you know, what a special person he was. But yeah, it was very hard. That was the worst day.
Does it feel like it was that long ago? Does it feel like a long time ago?
No, it feels like yesterday sometimes, and sometimes it feels like a forever ago. But yeah, it's hard, but it's good memories. So
what's it been like just seeing, like, I know one of the folks who are here, so cool, Krisha Andrews, she's now a full bird colonel in the Army Reserves.
Yeah.
I know you guys have maintained a friendship all these years. She came all the way from Hawaii to be here for this, and so
I'm so proud of her, that girl.
Seeing all these old friends and these classmates, I know it means a lot for them to finally get to see you guys too, some of them for the first time in all this time.
Yeah, it's been quite a while, and it's funny because I look at these kids, you know, and I used to call them, you know, my kids, and they'd come over to the house, have barbecues and, you know, salsa. But it was a good time, and I'm very blessed that they have come so far to be here. So
I mentioned earlier how cool it is to see a guy like Brad Mercier here, who's a retired Green Beret, but who was in the same unit as Josh back then in the 173rd. Mm-hmm. And so flying all the way from Georgia to come here just to show support for the family and to honor Josh. And, you know, sharing words from our friends like Les Craig in Bozeman, who President Bodner mentioned yesterday. And he was there. He was there, you know, in the exact same company as Josh back then. Dylan, your speech yesterday, I don't know if anybody got video of it. If they did, it was incredible. But I heard some things that I didn't even know about Josh and about that day that he gave his life for this country. What do you want to share with people across Montana the most?
You know, I think the thing I want to share the most is going back to kind of the lessons that he leaves behind in his legacy. The most important lesson I spoke about yesterday was that he was always wanting to be in service of those, as I said, who deserve and needed it the most. That was his drive while he was in Afghanistan. He was on a rehabilitation mission for Afghanistan at that time to rehabilitate a war-torn country. And he took to it, you know, like a flight of sugar, you know. And he truly believed that the people of Afghanistan that were being affected by the Taliban just being there are the people that needed his service.
I remember, I think Les had kind of given me some more details when I first met Les by chance doing a radio interview just like this. I didn't even know there was a Highland connection. And I just knew that Les was this Army Ranger, CIA guy who moved to Bozeman to do these high tech things. And I get to talking to him during a commercial break. And he's like, you went to UM, ROTC. Did you know Josh Highland? And wow, it's like just blew me away. But when Josh, you know, his life was taken, crossing that bridge in Afghanistan by an IED, a roadside bomb, as many people know it. You talked about yesterday how he wasn't even supposed to be on that mission.
No.
He was supposed to be on another mission.
Yeah.
But a junior soldier, a young soldier who had just gotten there said, hey, sir, I want to go on that mission. I want to kick in the door and go after a terrorist. Would you go on this other mission, this more humanitarian mission? He said, you got it, soldier. I'll take that one. You can go on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And the mission he ended up being on was delivering school supplies to just a local village that, had been affected by the war. And I shared yesterday, we have pictures of him swimming in watering holes in Afghanistan with local children. And, you know, he learned Arabic before he left. And when he got to Afghanistan, he learned Farsi, which is the, you know, local dialect. And, you know, he definitely, like I said, he wanted to serve those who needed it.
Lainey, we had talked about kind of doing something on the 20th anniversary, which was back on August 21st, if I remember right, around the 20th, 21st time frame, depending on when you got the news, et cetera. But this was just such a good plan that the University of Montana helped come up with, which is, okay, we've got a military alumni reunion, a 9/11 memorial at the Grateful Nation Montana Memorial, and what a great way to now also remember not only the 20-year sacrifice your family has made, but also seeing like Michelle Smith there yesterday, whose son Andrew Bedard gave his life for this country 20 years ago this October. I mean, what do the rest of us even say?
Yeah, I'm very thankful that, you know, so many people remember and have reached out to us over, I mean, it's been 20 years, and it's humbling, to say the least, you know. But yeah, it's really good to be back in this community again and seeing people that I haven't seen in years, and remembering Josh. And that's what we're here for. So
9/11, the two words that everybody, you know, most people remember still, but everybody remembered in the initial days and weeks after the 9/11 terror attacks were the two words, never forget.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it seems like a lot of people often forget, or just never even knew in the first place, and just go about their day-to-day lives with no idea the sacrifices that have been made for them.
It's amazing to think how many children, I mean, how many people right now don't know about, you know, what we went through as, you know, adults that witnessed, you know, the horror of that day. It was horrific, and the entire world was in on it. You know, it was a mournful time.
I mean, my own children, I mean, they'll never get to know Grandpa Josh, but they learn about 9/11 through history books. You know, I guess history on the computer nowadays. It's a historical event now instead of what we lived through.
Yeah, it really is crazy, because 24 years ago, I remember being a little kid in the 80s thinking Vietnam was forever ago, and it wasn't. It was the prior decade.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was the prior decade. But yeah, it's so incredible to get a chance to see both of you, and just to thank you for your sacrifice, and know that there's nothing we could ever really say that could ever truly express our gratitude, but what the Bell family has done with Grateful Nation Montana and the university, and all the classmates coming, I hope it at least expresses some sort of a gratitude that could never really express it all.
Yeah, we are very, very blessed to have you guys in our lives. Grateful Nation has been incredible, and Aaron, you did such a great job with everything. And
I didn't have to do much. I mean, I just said, hey, what about this? I just throw out my idea, and it's like, but you got people like, you know, like Colonel Pat Beckwith here, Dave and Brittany Bell that can make some things happen, and so I'm just honored to get a chance to be here and be amongst the best of us. You know, that's what I talked about yesterday at the Capitol, is you know, the rest of us, never forget, is about the rest of us remembering the best of us, and when the best of us fall, the rest of us need to stand. And so we thank you too for standing here.
Well,
and for all you've done. Quick break here on Montana Talks. I mentioned Grateful Nation Montana, and I think we've got Dave and Brittany both in the house here, so they'll join us here right after this. And then if we've got some time left in the program, yeah, Dick Parr is still here as well. Dick Parr is an incredible Vietnam veteran out of Ennis, Montana, and got to meet him yesterday at the alumni gathering at Red's Bar, so he's an incredible guy.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The Bureau of Land Management has begun the process of rolling back the Biden administration's rule allowing conservation leases on its land. The agency this week released a proposal to rescind the 2024 Public Lands Rule, which aimed to put conservation uses of land on equal footing with grazing, energy production, mining, and recreation. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum said that the public lands rule had the potential to block access to hundreds of thousands of acres of multiple-use land, preventing energy and mineral production, timber management, grazing, and hunting and recreation across the West. BLM's proposal says the agency has determined the rule is unnecessary and violates existing statutory requirements. Also, here in the United States, fairs and events at fairgrounds drive over $52 billion in economic impact. That's according to a new report from the International Association of Fairs and Expositions. That includes over 1,400 fairs nationwide. The report cites bringing tourism dollars into communities showing year-round impact on fairgrounds. More than 60% of the U.S. population said they attended a fair in 2024. That helps educate and show people how to connect with their sources of food. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to be back with you here on this Freedom Friday here, coinciding with the military alumni reunion here at the University of Montana. Yeah, I was privileged to go through Army ROTC here at the University of Montana back in the day. I had been attending Howard University back in Washington, D.C., for my first couple of years, and you know, waiting tables to pay for college, and then by chance I ended up becoming a legislative aide in the United States Senate covering energy and natural resource issues. So it took a little bit of time off from college because, hey, it's an opportunity of a lifetime to work as a legislative staffer in the United States Senate. So what the heck, might as well do that. And then, of course, 9/11 happened, and that changed everything. And eventually ended up coming back here to the University of Montana and joining the National Guard and joining the ROTC program. And it's just one of the worst things that could have ever happened, but for me, it's one of the best things that could have ever happened to me, even in the worst of situations like 9/11. I spoke yesterday at the Capitol about, pardon my French here for a moment, about, you know, being in our nation's capital on 9/11 and feeling pissed off and powerless. And, you know, here you are in the most powerful nation on earth, and all you can do is just sit there and stare at the black smoke billowing out of the Pentagon, and it pissed you off, but you also felt powerless because you couldn't do anything about it. And so I know that's what prompted so many to then serve, and how the rest of us got to know people like Josh Hyland and the best of us. That's why I'm so appreciative of what Dave and Brittany Bell have been doing here in Missoula with the Grateful Nation Montana Memorial. That's where we were at yesterday afternoon. Dave Bell, an honor to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I started telling these Capitol Hill stories because a good friend of yours and mine, I first heard your name because a friend of mine that worked in Conrad Burns' office back in the day said, hey, you got to meet my friend Dave Bell one of these days. And I know you've got a very successful business here, Alps, here in Missoula. But, man, what you've done with this Grateful Nation Montana Memorial, it's just incredible. Seeing all the names, all of the fallen Montana service members being recognized and being memorialized.
Well, it's been a privilege to be a part of it, and I've always been grateful for the University of Montana. When George Jenison was president and we floated this idea by him, he immediately locked onto it and pledged not only to help make it happen, but to make sure that it was in among the most prominent places on the university campus. And that just, I think, highlights how far we've come as a country in terms of how we view the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform make for our country and the sacrifices that their families make while they are serving our nation. And so it has been a true privilege to be a part of that memorial. And so many people worked together to make it happen.
When you do something like that, so hosting a statewide radio show, and especially as we approach, you know, Memorial Day or Veterans Day or different things like that, as a result of doing a statewide radio show like this, I've had the honor and the privilege to get to talk to and get to know and sometimes have them on the radio, the Gold Star family members. And it's always the hardest thing, but I want to communicate to them is, hey, if you want to join us on the radio, if you want to share your loved one's story, we would love for you to have that opportunity. But I also understand that some people, they do not want to talk about it. They want to go to their quiet place when that time comes around. And I appreciate that and I respect that. But we just want them to know that that opportunity is there, because some Gold Star family members, yes, they want to get on that microphone and tell you about their loved one. And others, they're happy and honored that you remember their loved one, but they just want to go to a quiet place during that time. I know you've gotten to meet so many of these Gold Star family members as a result of your connection with this memorial.
We have, and that has been one of the greatest privileges of our lives, to be invited into the community of the Gold Star families. And to your point, all of these very different people spread all around our state, the one thing that they have in common is the loss that they've experienced. And that it is profound to be in community with them as one of the only folks who are not Gold Star families, but are among the people trying to rally around them. And the journey that is inevitably part of losing, in Montana's case, all of our KIAs are men, but the of losing a boy and the pain and the hurt and then the healing and then oftentimes the forgiveness. It has been a really remarkable journey. Every family is different. Every family has a different journey and a different ending. But it has been pretty remarkable to see stories of healing and redemption and recovery that has moved through. And all the while, and you pointed this out, Aaron, I think if there's one thing that I've noticed that is so common from every single family is the deep desire to not have their kid forgotten and not have the sacrifice that they made or the short lives that they lived forgotten. And to the extent that that memorial can play a small part in helping anchor their lives and reminding those that knew them and those that never got a chance to meet them when they lived, where they lived, what they did, what they contributed, it's really been phenomenal.
Yeah, I know. Last year, I got to go to a memorial for the VMGR crews, basically Marine Air crews. My cousin's husband was on the Yankee 7-2 crew that crashed with a Marine MARSOC Raiders on board as well. And so anyway, there's a memorial for the KC-130 crews and the VMGRs, et cetera, and got to go there to Quantico for the unveiling of their memorial. And what she said, what she continues to say, what so many of them said then is say their names, to remember their names, just like what you just said there. And so in walking through that memorial and seeing the placards for, you know, the Yuzinski family and the Bloom family and Aaron Holliman and Jeremy Sandvik Monroe and seeing the flowers placed on those markers, I would just encourage everybody, if you're passing through Missoula, go and just and spend some time there.
Right. And just take do a quick Google search. You'll see whether it's Grateful Nation Montana's page or so many other pages. Look at the pictures. These are the folks, the lives that they led. Some of them were old enough to be married and have kids, but many were not. They were kids themselves. And so I think it's incumbent upon all of us who honor those men and women who put on the uniform and serve our nation and whatever sacrifice they make, up to and including the ultimate sacrifice. Google the names, look at the pictures, and just take a moment to reflect on the lives that that they live and have lived.
We just earlier this week, of course, big in the news still, and of course, I think we don't truly know the full extent of the impact that this terrorist assassination attack, as I call it, on Charlie Kirk is going to have on our country. But the bigger picture that I've been thinking about this morning is that after 9/11, President George W. Bush and so many had talked about how freedom itself was under attack. It was freedom itself that was attacked, whether it was financial freedom or American freedom and the Pentagon and the symbol of defending freedom. And I think that freedom also was attacked earlier this week. And by the way, I would say the same thing. If, you know, Charlie Kirk was on the UM campus a year ago, he was supposed to be on the MSU campus next month. Bernie Sanders and AOC were on the UM campus. I would say the same thing if they were attacked in such a vicious manner that freedom itself was attacked. But especially in this instance where he not only was exercising his First Amendment rights, but he gave his opponents the ability to exercise theirs at his own events. And so I just think it's just another powerful reminder of never forgetting the importance of our freedoms and allowing others to have those freedoms, not just yourself.
That's right. I mean, he in so many ways embodied what the First Amendment is designed to accomplish by inviting people who shared a different point of view, who disagreed, sometimes strongly disagreed, and engage in conversation and go through the intellectual exercise of hearing one another out. He was a truly remarkable person. And, you know, we as a country are at a very precarious point, and as it was said so long ago, with no less wisdom today, house divided falls. And I think one of the most important ambitions we all need to hold on together as a nation is to go through these experiences together and let it pull us closer to one another, even with the very different views that everybody has.
And oftentimes, I think it's through face-to-face interactions. It's like when I go to the Capitol in Helen and I just have a table and some microphones set up, you know, I disagree vehemently with some of the folks that I see inside the Capitol, especially on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But still, when you go there and see folks in person to person, you can still smile and shake their hand and give them the half hug. You know, you got to do the half hug. Otherwise, it's awkward if you do the full hug, right? And people just need to do more of that. And that's why I love when we take the show on the road and we get to see listeners that I disagree with in person. That we need to continue doing exactly what Charlie Kirk was doing, and we shouldn't be silenced. I'm not one of these people where rhetoric is responsible. No, actions are responsible. Rhetoric is what we do as Americans, First Amendment rights. Actions are what need to be held accountable and responsible, but that's my take. Dave Bell, an honor to see you. Thanks for all you do with Grateful Nation Montana.
Yeah. Thank you for everything, Aaron. Thank you for being part of this.
Hey, no, thank you. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. By the way, speaking of Charlie Kirk and the terrorist assassination attack on his life earlier this week, President Trump gave a big update on Fox and Friends earlier this morning. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, you can see some of the highlights of that interview. I'm going to see if Dick Parr from Ennis will come join us here right after this.
Montana.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I'm looking into the north end zone of Washington Grizzly Stadium right now, and that is where in about 40 minutes, they're going to have a Purple Heart ceremony here as part of the military alumni reunion. So I'll break down my gear, head down there for that ceremony. But speaking of Purple Heart veterans, we've got a great Purple Heart veteran sitting across from me right now. I got a chance to catch up with Dick Parr out of Ennis, Montana, earlier this morning. And, Dick, you were sharing this story about this incredible story about how you had gotten basically shot down in Vietnam, and a Navy SEAL who you were on the mission with as a U.S. Navy Seawolf basically took out nearly 30 enemy with one pistol. And, of course, you escaped it wounded but alive. I understand you're working to get that gentleman honored and upgrade the award that he received for his heroic actions.
Correct. What he did was absolutely amazing. Not only he saved us, and then when the Army bird came in to pick us up, there were three NVA that ran at the bird, and the Army co-pilot shot two of them with an M16 out the window. The third one ran right in front of the aircraft with an AK-47, and the SEAL, who was still laying on the ground outside, saw this. Well, he rolled over with a 45 and shot underneath the helicopter and picked the guy right off the ground with that 45 and came up smiling. And so we got on the Army bird, and then he grabbed the M60 that was in the bird, and he was still shooting as we flew away. So yes, he was awarded the Navy Cross, which is the second highest award. He was put in for the Medal of Honor, and for political reasons, it was downgraded to the Navy Cross. So we have somebody now, a civilian, who has been working on this for 3 years to get it upgraded to the Medal of Honor. So we think we're going to have a good shot to get him.
Yeah.
Get him awarded.
So I got to meet you yesterday at Red's Bar downtown Missoula as part of the military alumni reunion. And yeah, it was so incredible hearing your story. But I asked you, I said, so have you gotten to meet him since that time? Is he still alive? And he's just down in Idaho. So.
Yeah. I saw him in July. So I see him about once every other year or so. Yeah.
What's it like being able to catch up? And tell us his name again, too, for those who missed it.
His name is R.J. Thomas. And there's a podcast, if you look up on YouTube, podcast of the interview that they did with him.
Well, and as I was looking at your ball cap there, U.S. Navy Seawolves, 1966 to 1972. I mean, the Navy SEALs officially got started, in the early 60s. So he was one of the first. You were there with some of the first.
Yes, they were probably 3 years old when we associated with them in Vietnam. And we supported them on a daily basis.
What's it like to catch up with him, even after all these years? And then also, just what's it like to live in Ennis? There are so many incredible veterans in the Ennis community. And, of course, ground zero for veterans in Ennis is, of course, our friend Willie Blazer and Willie's Distillery. It's you want to meet some great veterans, just pop into Willie's Distillery. You'll meet some great veterans.
That's correct. We got a lot of veterans. And like our Lions Club, our local Lions Club, there's probably 25 veterans in our Lions Club. And we have a tremendous veterans park in Ennis that we've developed. And matter of fact, the gentleman who is working on the Medal of Honor, he came to Ennis a couple of years ago, and we showed him the park, and he came down and he said, "What do you need for this park?" We gave him a shopping list, and he wrote a check for $15,000 to do improvements to the park.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. And when you catch up with your friend in Idaho, even after all these years, you know, part of this military alumni reunion, there's some people who this is their first time coming back after 20 plus years of service in the military, and who knows how many deployments and training exercises and more. And so what's it like for you when you get to catch up with a guy who literally saved your life?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, he's a low-key guy. He doesn't talk much, but he's just a real low-key guy, and he's still a shooter. He still shoots rifles. He's got over $1 million worth of guns in his house. But kind of a funny story. When my son was in the Navy, he was down at Naval Air Station Fallon, Nevada, where RJ lives in those days, and he went to lunch with RJ, and he told RJ, he said, "You know, RJ, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you."
Yeah, I just don't know how you ever can capture the sacrifices that have been made for this country. And sometimes not even for the country, just for the man on your left or on your right.
Correct, yeah. I mean, that's what we did in Vietnam, was basically take care of other people. That was our mission, was to protect other people. And we did lose. We lost 44 people in our squadron that were killed in combat.
30 seconds to go here. Dick Parr, Vietnam veteran, Purple Heart recipient. What do you want to tell folks across Montana? Importance to never forget or anything like that?
Yeah, it's just a great honor to live in Montana first, of course, and to be part of the military service of Montana and all the veterans. It's just a very satisfying event to have that happen.
And what about that view of the stadium here as the sun's starting to fully come out here this wonderful year? I mean, we're at 50-yard line, top of the stadium right now.
It's not very often you see it like this, and tomorrow we'll see 26,000 people filling all those seats.
I think you and I should
I'll
just
be right over there on that side.
You and I should just go grab a football, go still play catch down there. You know, what the heck? Why not?
Right.
Yeah. Who's going to stop you? They might stop me, but they won't stop you. Dick, great to see you. Thanks so much for your time. Big thanks to the University of Montana.